Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Declarations of War podcast. Your host for this evening, myself, Alexei Evgard. We've got one of my directors, Deliter, here.
Hey, guys.
And CSM representative and candidate, Mike Azariah.
Hey, guys.
As usual, guys, we're pushing this iTunes thing. This really helps us get noticed as an EVE podcast. If you go to iTunes and review us and say that we're a good EVE podcast, there's search reasons, and also so we can rub it in the faces of the other not-quite-as-awesome podcasts. I'm kidding, of course. But seriously, if you
there
have iTunes account...
There are a lot account,
of them out there now. Yeah, there are. It feels like over the last 2 or 3 months we've had an explosion in the podcasting community, which is great. But the iTunes reviews really helps. So go review us. Give us 5 stars. If you listen to any other new shows, it would really help them out too. If it's not too much trouble while you're there, just, you know, give them a 4-star review.
I knew you were going to say that.
So let's go on to some shout-outs. I want to give a shout-out to Deliter, who is here, and to Enhaj Greb, who are slaving away at their desks to help Noir achieve electronic superiority over our enemies. We're getting new API stuff for our Slack. We're getting a new killboard, fingers crossed, maybe. There's talk of a forums happening. Very exciting things, mostly due to the two of them and Wactopia, who is the creator of FleetUp, who just made a really awesome patch where you can now put your doctrines into folders, which is like so useful, and apparently Red versus Blue is having a good time with that, as are we. So thanks to you three.
I'd like to give a shout out to all of our new bros that joined the new alliance we created. Good things in the future.
I'd like to give a shout out, just one specifically, and that's to CCP Lilu, who today the candidate nomination period, or you know, putting your name in, closed. So she now has to, along with the securities people, go through all the applications, eliminate the people who can't read simple instructions, and then publish the list of candidates running for CSM10.
Which I am waiting for with great anticipation. We're probably going to have at least a weekend. We're going to try to book as many candidates as we can in said weekend to bring you guys some issue roundtables. But as per Declarations of War tradition, we wait for the final candidate list so we know who's actually running, and we don't have any dropouts or people disqualified because they don't have passports or, you know, these things do
the usual
happen
stuff, yeah.
Sometimes. Yeah.
I enjoyed War Deck 1 last year.
Yeah, I don't know if War Decks are as big of an issue this year, but it definitely was a good panel to have. I feel like...
Now, I could give you a couple issues you could bang the people on.
Yeah, I mean, by all means. What I'd like to do is get, like, a couple issues that several candidates would have perspectives on. So, like, not the most obvious boring issues, but at the same time, I don't want people's pet projects. So, I figure, like, new players and retention.
Because everybody's been banging it. Just leave the new player experience out of it, okay?
Really?
Everybody's been talking about it on every podcast, every interview. It's like, everyone has pretty much the same opinion. It needs to be better. You won't get much opposition between people. You'll just get everybody talking in the same direction.
Yeah, that's a good point. I feel like it's an important issue to talk about, but it does not make good radio.
Yeah, that's the thing, is it is important, and but I have yet to hear somebody say, screw it, we need to go back to the old way where it's, here's a Rubik's Cube, go fuck yourself. You know?
Actually, I am in favor of the Rubik's Cube option.
But who did that quote originally?
Soundwave.
That was Soundwave, okay.
I was in the room.
So that's a classic, but most people say, yeah, we need to kind of level the slope, but everyone says it needs to be fixed. I've yet to see anyone really come up with, the only thing you do is corner them and say, good, let's take it as a given, it needs to be fixed. What do you think would be a good way to fix it? That would make good roundtable, but not whether it needs fixing or not.
Oh, well, Mike, look who you're talking to. They ask the hard questions. Of course I'm going to press them for their solutions, get into the weeds. That's the way we roll here on Declarations of War. No wuss interviews. There are other podcasts for that. I'm not going to name names. Now, if I bring candidates on, you know, be assured they will get the boots put to them in terms of, you know, getting the details of their positions and their attitudes and trying to really get to the heart of who they are. I think that's the value to have, and also the value of how they interact with one another. So
yeah, that's people skills. Anyone who thinks that you can get through the CSM without people skills, you're making a big mistake.
It's just one of those things where you can have a candidate who sounds just great giving an interview or something, but they actually get on the council, and we've seen this a bunch of times. I know I have, and I'm sure you have as well, Mike. They just don't play well as a team, or there's some other issue which reduces their effectiveness, and they just, I don't know, the contents don't live up to the packaging, so to speak.
Yep.
So.
And I'm not going to name names because I'm a professional.
And it's no one particular individual. I can think of at least three or four CSMs where this has been the case.
Oh, yeah. I think if you get 14 people, one of them is going to be a dipstick. That's just kind of the rule of groups.
Yep. Yep.
And if you're in a group of 14 and you can't figure out who the dipstick is, it's you.
If you get 14 people and there's only one, I'm thinking you're winning.
That's a good point.
That's a very good point, actually. I was talking to Tyrant on his podcast, Legacy of Capsuleer. We were talking about the activity level of CSMs, and he was shocked to learn that by the end of it, CSM7 had literally four active people, maybe four and a half, like in terms of a part timer, and that was it out of the whole 14.
I remember 14. That, yeah.
I mean, you got to work with what you got sometimes, but. Since it's the election cycle, we should not be focused on working with what you have. We should be focused on getting the best council possible to represent us. And that's where you listeners come in. You know, check out the individual interviews that the other podcasts are doing. Check out our group interviews. Make an informed choice. And don't just make a choice for you. Talk to your other stupider or busier friends who did not take the time to look into it and get them to vote your way. It helps.
Absolutely, and if anyone tries to convince you that your vote doesn't count, especially with single transferable vote, understand that they may actually have an agenda where they don't want you to vote because they're afraid you won't vote their way. And so the best thing they can do is block you from voting so that they get what they want. If you see a group organizing to do an election and get a campaign, a ballot preset, and then they try to convince you that the voting isn't worth it, that's kind of a doublespeak that you should look at real close.
Very excellent point. Okay, so before we go on, I want to give massive credit to our longest sponsor ever, EveTimeCode.com. EveTimeCode is where your business counts. For every $250 you spend there, you get a free Plex. It is the place to go to get Plex. I mean, if you want to buy Plex in bulk for whatever nefarious and or not nefarious purposes, we're not here to judge. They are the place to do it. No questions asked. And they even accept bitcoins. So you can be extra slippery with your transaction if you like. You know, maybe you're financing an alt account to go steal someone's supercap fleet. Who's to say? Not me, certainly, and certainly not the good people at EveTimeCode.com. They also give, in all seriousness, they give a lot back to the community, and they're a really fantastic group. I've been working with their owner, Diana, for years now. If you're planning on getting Plexes, this is the place to do it, EveTimeCode.com.
I like Diana. I've hugged her before.
She gives great hugs.
Doesn't she, though?
And she bought us dinner when we were in Vegas.
That's true. We went to, what was the name of that place? It was the Tropical... Something Bay? I don't know. Anyway, there was a tropical theme. There was lots of old music playing. But it was very delicious. I had shrimp.
Margaritaville. Yep.
Margaritaville. Yes, that's the one. Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun.
Please, I have quite a few Jimmy Buffett albums in my basement.
All right, moving on to the poll results. We asked people how they were feeling about the minutes.
I was surprised by the result.
Were you now?
I was. Can I give the results?
You may, Mr. CSM representative. I see the floor.
How are you feeling on the minutes? And amazingly, only 7 of you voted. You guys need to vote more. If this is a sign of you voting in the election, I'm very pissed off already. But great, super fast is super good. 2 people, so that'd be 29%. Okay, speed is nice, but a little less NDA would be ideal. 4 votes, 57%. Bad, speed means nothing. If there's so much info lost to the NDA, 1 vote, 14%. I agree less NDA would be ideal, but that's mainly people who want to be told all the secrets ahead of time, and you probably open Christmas presents before Christmas morning, you little sneaks.
Well, here's the thing. With the new 2-month cycle, it's all coming so fast, so furious, and I absolutely get, from having been in there, the need to NDA the conversation. But I think just removing entire... So the way we used to do it, we would rarely remove an entire section. That was almost unheard of. That would be like removing the section on dust. And when they did that for CSM 7, we were very, very upset about it because there was a lot of stuff there.
CSM 8, and I'm the one who wrote those minutes, so I did not get credit for writing a section of minutes because I wrote the dust ones and they pulled the whole thing.
So, I don't know how colorful your discussion was about dust, but certainly ours was explosive, I would say.
I still occasionally nag them about, look, there's nothing there that can be a secret now. Can we release it just to show that we did something? And it's like yelling at a large rock wall.
Sounds right. So there's that, except now it's like all over. And fair or not, I don't feel like the CSM solution to this is satisfactory.
Well, for the record, this one was a surprise. Like, we were as shocked as the public was on how fast the minutes came out. We knew that CCP Logibro was there typing furiously, and so was Falcon. But the fact that they came out before the, the next day was just, we were stunned monkeys looking at that going, seriously?
So, like, I would have preferred, I like the speed, don't get me wrong. I like taking the minutes, like having someone there to take them as it goes. I think that's great. What I would like more is if you do decide to go, oh, this entire section is like so NDA, instead of putting a picture of a cat or a chili recipe, give like a half a page super high level breakdown of what was discussed and who took sides where.
Yeah, I understand that and we can push for it next time, but I'm kind of the, if I'd voted, I would have voted great, super fast is super good. I understand the NDA complaints, but as long as one word's missing, there are some people who complain about the NDA, and the more detail we give, the better the chance that we get people complaining about the magnus opus.
Have you ever had ramen, Mike?
Many times. I was a university student.
Sure you were. You can cook it in like 2 or 3 minutes, right? Very fast.
Yep.
Have you ever gone to a restaurant and said, hey, can I have your super fast ramen? The 10-cent ones you buy at the CVS?
No, but there's a place locally that will make you craft dinner.
Do you go there?
I don't, but they get a fair amount of business.
And these fast minutes get a fair amount of views, but it doesn't mean there's a lot of nutrition there.
That's true. Actually, I was impressed with the number of things they did in NDA, but then that's just me.
Don't get me wrong. It's still good. Very impressed with the speed. I just think the pendulum needs to swing a little bit more back into the other direction before we hit the nice medium. And hopefully the next CSM will follow.
It would have been nice if they just had, like you said, even highlights, just said, we talked about multi-boxing or multicasting. We talked about this, that. We saw stats on the effects of bands. Or whatever we talked about. You could do, for security, talk about, like you said, the high-level stuff, and CSM pressed for information on this, that, and the other thing. You don't have to put the answers, you can just put the questions.
Exactly. All right, Eve News. Been sort of a slow week. The biggest news, of course, is that we have a new patch coming out called Tiamat.
So don't forget to set a long skill queue. Oh, wait.
Personally, I have a 3 or 4 year skill queue, so I never have to worry about patches again. It's a very low stress.
Could you imagine if a bug in a patch actually erased your skill queue?
Oh, God. We're probably only one step better than having it erase your Windows. For all the new players just listening to us, yes, this did happen. There was a patch for EVE Online which deleted a file called boot.ini, which is a file in the EVE directory, but it didn't say the EVE directory. It just said delete it, and so it took it out of the Windows registry, and as you might guess, boot.ini involves booting your computer. So yeah, many PCs were broken that patch. Thankfully, I couldn't download it for 2 or 3 days, so I was fine. But some members of NOR were not so lucky. What'd you say, Mike?
I said you were warned by the victims who were rushing to be in first.
Mm-hmm. And now I've learned, never be the first person to download a patch from CCP.
But you're right, Tiamat's not got a... It's got some stuff that people are arguing about and debating. The AWOCs, the new confessor, this Fipple.
Is that how it's actually pronounced?
What's that?
Is that how it's pronounced?
Yeah, I actually found the link and posted it in Twitter of an Icelandic person saying that word. And it rhymes with Pitbull.
Alrighty.
So people are going, Sfeeple, or like being sheeple and not saying it right.
Well, it's certainly an interesting-looking ship. I can see myself flying it. It strikes me as the kind of ship I always wished the Jaguar was. A proper, small artillery platform.
Yeah, but it's... I think everybody's waiting for the shoe to drop. And until we do something with Sov or, you know, all the other ones will be just pale shadows and not precursors of, if you know what I mean. So it's been complaints of the last 2 or 3 patches that, well, you look at them and there's lots of stuff in them. People are going, yeah, but Sov is still Sov. And so they're comparing it to the monolith or the mountain they're seeing coming up, and these little hills we go over just feel like speed bumps.
Yeah, but there's some really, really nice stuff in those little speed bumps.
Oh, absolutely.
I like the last patch quite a bit, actually.
I'm mad, and there's something I really wish anybody would go out and do, and that's take almost any 6-month release of the past history of EVE Online and compare it to what they've done in the past 6 months. Like, add up all the patches that they've done with this 6-week release compared to the once every half year patch, and you'll realize a ton has happened. They're producing more stuff in the same time period.
Yeah, you are correct. I think this is really the only patch where it doesn't feel like there's a lot in it. And I mean, these are going to happen just because of the nature of design.
You're getting sound and some visions, and you're getting a new ship class, not class, but a new ship. You're getting a new rule, which is pissing a lot of people off with the AWOC stuff, although it's been argued to death. And so, you know, it is a shift and a change in the game. It's just relative.
It also has these new NPCs, the Drifters, which sound quite cool. I've read about them a little bit on the test server.
Have you watched the videos off of the test server of that low-hum weapon of theirs?
No, I've just seen the stills.
Oh, find a YouTube video of it. Like, it's doing the normal pew, 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 and all of a sudden that glow appears around the top of it. It goes, and a paladin is erased.
Yeah, it's pretty damn cool.
And it's that low hum. If I was facing one of those things and I heard a hum start, I'd be like, I want Lodgy to get the hell off field because it will erase anything it decides to hit. So it's like... Somebody said attacking it's going to be like playing Russian roulette. You know you're going to lose ships. You're just hoping it's not yours.
And that is interesting.
And you have the added, and I don't know if this is connected to Drifters, but it was mentioned in the minutes that we were talking about a little while ago, that they are actually they are giving consideration to allowing NPCs to pod.
Yes, that was in the minutes, which, yeah, we can discuss, but yeah.
It would make sense for it to be a new NPC that did it. I'm not saying that they're connected. I honestly don't know, but would make sense.
Agreed. I don't think NPCs potting is as big of a deal as it was since the clone cost change. But, it, I mean, it's certainly something to think about. I think there's no reason they shouldn't pod. Players pod, NPCs should pod.
Yep.
I've always felt like that.
I just asked that, wouldn't it be nice if they actually warned the players, and they're... I think the response was in the minutes. Nah, they'll find out.
And I would be in that camp. what else is coming in here? Not tons. Some minor fixes. Some module tier aside, but not to probably lots of modules that you'll use. Small artillery is getting a bit of a buff, which is cool. There's some small changes to small autocannons as well, mostly in terms of their ammo. Generally speaking, it's... I mean, the change to the AWACSing in Corp, I think, is probably the most controversial thing in the patch here, the most revolutionary thing. And even that, I think it's a lot, quite overblown in terms of what people are saying about it. Really, especially nowadays, you got to keep in mind, when ships were assassinated back then, like that the battleship is blown up in the Alliance tournament, and that backstab happened. That was awesome, because back then, like, replacing a ship was super hard. The game has grown in scale, the economy has changed, the way ships are manufactured has changed. Blowing up somebody's ship, not as huge of a deal as it once was, unless they're, like, super blinged out. In which case, you could just suicide gang them.
Yeah, and you still can.
So I think the main way to hurt people now is corp theft and sowing dissension and that kind of thing. And that's still extremely viable. If you were, you know, relying on like shooting somebody's mining barge by being in their corp for your giddies, I don't really feel too bad for you because there's probably not too many of you. And if that was the case, then believe me, there's going to be plenty of other awful things that you can start doing. It'll be fine, basically.
Expand your horizons.
Well, believe me, you can still be an asshole. Believe me.
So you got another note here about Black Legion and CFC?
Yeah, pretty much the only thing that's going on in terms of EVE fighting is that Black Legion and CFC have sort of restarted their on-again, off-again fight in Venal. When we last touched on this subject, Black Legion had pretty much called it quits and relocated, take a break from getting their towers ground down, but now they're back, and they are on the offensive, trying to take down CFC towers in Venal. And fights are happening. Muchisk is being destroyed. The only other thing of note is that the Pandemic Legion, Brave, Stainwagon, three-way dance is still going on in Ketch, including some multi-tens of billions fights, but no significant shifts of territory or changes in the status quo in a strategic sense. So, not tons to cover there.
People are shooting, but territory is shifting slowly.
Slowly or not at all, really. And although both sides are taking vast losses, it's really only vast to, like, people like us who don't have that kind of money. For them, they're not really feeling it too much. Certainly Brave is not going to get daunted by losing ships. That's not their alliance culture. So this brings us to the more exciting part of the podcast, which is what we're up to. As we told you in the last show, we were leaving suddenly Spaceships Alliance. We are finally able to announce all the details in terms of what our new name is, what we're doing, all that kind of stuff. We are now No Not Believing Alliance. It's Noir and the Thaddeus Drake's Corp. He was one of our guests recently, voted best guest 2014. He brought his whole corp on this new adventure, which is really cool. As far as the concept, it's a little bit of two things. One, we wanted to have a fun alliance that really properly communicated our humor and our culture Like, we do enjoy the game quite a bit. I think there's a popular conception of that noir is like a no-fun, serious corp. Which is true when the fighting starts. We take fights seriously, we like to win. We like to win on hard mode as well. We don't like losses, of course. But in between that, it's just a lot of fun in terms of like our Slack, and our comms are very fun and friendly. It's a nice, welcoming community, so we wanted to have that. Back that up with really good PvP capabilities in terms of fleets, doctrines, numbers, activity, all that kind of stuff. And we're going to take that show on the road for mercenary contracts as soon as we're ready, which I estimate to be another 2 to 3 weeks. And I also wanted to pioneer a place that would be... that would facilitate FCs to come up with creative doctrines and then make it easy for them to get those doctrines stocked up, distributed to pilots, and actually go out and fly the ships and the fleet concepts that really excite them. And thanks to Wactopia, FleetUp can now handle that kind of thing. Thanks to Delator and the other directors, we're really moving in the right direction, getting everything nailed down and all that stuff. Del, this might be a good opportunity for you to sort of go into all the planning stuff and update everyone on your progress.
Well, my side's been pretty easy. I mean, we set up the other corp for all the logistics type stuff, which to make our lives a little bit easier. The thing with the fleet up change that Wactopia has done is really going to make things much, much easier, because this is something we've been trying to do for a while. I mean, this is we created our Retribution fleet this exact same way, where basically we decided that a couple dudes in the late night crew decided we were wanted to try it out and see what we could do with it. So we built the concept and we just did it ourselves. We brought all the ships down and we would just literally hand out ships to people that showed up for the fleet and be like, here, try this, try this, try this, and tweaked them as we went and wound up with a really solid concept that we really enjoy flying. So the changes WAC put in, the ability to do that basically on an alliance scale, has the potential to just really be amazing.
Yeah, and I mean, Dell's Retribution fleet, I mean, it wasn't solely his idea, but I really give you a lot of credit for the making it happen part of things. Because you're the guy that went out and got the ships. You were the guy that was handing them out. So it was like, people didn't need to come on and be like, oh, Retributions? I don't have one of those. Could I bring a blank? You're like, oh, you don't have a Retribution?
Blank
here
is
one.
Blank is Drake.
Yes.
Because it's always, can I Drake?
Can I bring my Drake? No! Until one day, I'm sure someone is going to make a Drake fleet on Fleet Up, and then it's going to be, can I bring my Drake? And everyone's going to go, yeah, sure. I'm going to hang my head.
Already.
Yeah.
Hey, I heard out of your mouth that you wanted to fly Drakes. You said it.
I don't know that I said that.
Yeah, I was there.
I do. I love the ship.
I think it's a good... It's a decent ship.
Yeah, they did nerf it. Now it's got to be Navy-issue Drake to actually be back to what the old Drake was.
I thought the Drake Navy was a step down in terms of tank and damage.
He's slightly easier to fit.
Ah, I see. I like the look of the Drake Navy. I like the idea of the Drake Navy. I just don't feel like it lived up to the sticker. It was supposed to be like a nano Drake, basically, when the idea was first pitched to me. And I was like, ooh, that sounds cool. But actually fitting it out doesn't really go that fast.
Yeah. I'm just nostalgic for it.
Yeah, the Drake Blob was cool back in the day. It was the thing to do. Drakes with damps. Good times.
So where are you guys, being mercenaries, you move around, but where is No Not Believing going to be kind of, where's home?
Right now we're based in Karim, which is a low-sec system that's on the route between high-sec and Providence. So we're... yes. We're well-placed to harass the shit out of Pravi, which is always fun. Providence guaranteed content on demand. There's also some objectives nearby, which, you know, will be good later when we grow. And, you know, we're not, like, tied to this place with a chain. If it ever makes sense to leave, we could always just pick up and leave. But I think for right now, It's working well. We've got Pandemic Legion and Nihilist Social Club in the area as well. So it's forcing our pilots to learn how to identify bait and get around it. It's especially challenging for our new alliance partners. It's something they haven't had to do before. So to put them in that environment early and have them around the NORD members they can benefit and learn from, I think it's been pretty awesome so far. And the feedback that I've gotten from our new alliance partners is people are really happy with them, particularly with the attitude they bring to fleets. They're very high energy corp, very tough. They don't get discouraged very easily, which is cool.
Yep, good dudes.
I mean, that's what first attracted me to them, really. First of all, they beat us in a fleet fight, which always helps in terms of our estimation of you. And not, like, cheated and hot-dropped. I mean, like, they had a triage carrier. We had, like, 6 or 8 Guardians, something like that. We had sacks. They had battleships. And it was, a 30-minute-long brawl that they eventually won. So major props to them on that. But then, of course, we battled back and slowly but surely, fight after fight after fight, managed to, you know, recover from that fight, from a capital loss. And we just, you know, we came out on top, but it was a very hard-fought campaign. And throughout the entire thing, even after we started beating them regularly by adapting our doctrines, they still kept on fighting, kept on trying to make it work, and really earned our respect on that. So to be able to try this new exciting alliance concept with them was definitely appealing for me. We had our first alliance meeting. I feel like that went well. We had a great turnout. I feel like energy was pretty high off that. And we have seen some evidence of new FCs getting out there. There have already been 2 doctrines created to test out. People are taking fleets out, trying stuff. Some of it's not always working, some of it is. But it's really cool to see. I myself have a doctrine that I can't wait to test the next weekend, assuming we can get the equipment for it. Nice little cheap, fast frigate destroyer roaming concept based on some stuff we've been working on at Sissy, training NAR Academy students. I think it'll be fun to fly. But we'll see. And that's the excitement for me, like designing things that might be fun to fly. And then, well, let's see if it is. So that's how that's going, aka it's going well. If you would like to join No Not Believing, you can contact me in-game. We are looking for corps that are 40 members or larger, preferably 50 or larger, but we might make some exceptions if you've got a really active base. And of course, Noir and Ukanker are recording. Reporting pilot. Blah, 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 blah. Recruiting pilots.
How young a pilot are you recruiting?
Say again?
Have you got a skill point limit or an age limit?
I can't speak to Ukink's recruitment policies. NAR's recruitment policies haven't really changed. As long as you've got the right attitude and it feels like you can learn, we're happy to take you. Either you will go in NAR directly if you've got a large killboard portfolio, basically. If you've got a lot of experience, if you've FC'd before, and you've got some references for people that can vouch for you. If you don't have any of that, but you still look promising and you still have a really nice attitude, we'll probably put you in NAR Academy and help train you / evaluate you, and you could spend 1 to 3 months there and then move up to the main corp.
Okay, just wondering because I get asked that in the rookie chat. But
yeah, we're not
specifically about you guys, but, and this is for anyone who's running corps or alliances of any ilk. You know the swamp or morass that recruitment channel is. If you want to get in touch with the rookies, that is a way, but there's got to be a better way. And one of them is tell me, because I chat with them in the rookie help chat. I'm not allowed to recruit, but I can point them in various directions if somebody asks me directly.
Yeah, we don't have any skill point limit, like, to be clear. For me, it's always been about recruiting experienced players, not necessarily high skill point players.
Yeah, and attitude is 99% of it for us. You could be a complete noob when it comes to mechanics and stuff. As long as you've got the right attitude, we'll totally take you and train you.
Culture fit is the key.
Yep, always.
All right, EveBet.com. It's Eve-Bet.com. They are New Eden's premier betting service where you can bet on esports, real sports, Eve stuff, all with your ISK. They've handled hundreds of trillions of bets since opening, so they are a service you can trust. And they've also got some casual games like blackjack and slot machines and that kind of stuff. Where applicable, all odds are industry standard, so you know you're getting a fair shake. And they do lots of promotional stuff, giveaways, that kind of thing. So something's always happening with them, and it's usually a good time. So if you haven't checked it out, I encourage you to. eve-bet.com. CSM Corner. We are lucky to have Mr. Azariah here. usually it's Allie, but she couldn't be here today. So we have Mike filling in.
Yep.
And it's a good time to have you, I think, because there's a lot going on in the CSM front, isn't there?
Well, between the election coming up and the little... you listed it as the year-in-review controversy here in the notes. Alex is very organized. He actually has notes for the guests, but he was shocked that I actually read them, so I don't know how effective they are usually.
They're terrible. No one reads any of my forum posts, anything. It's always my curse.
And the year-in-review controversy was a kick-up between, Funky Bacon and, on his blog post, Scion on the Mitanni.com, and then Xander came in on Crossing Zebras. So you had three different platforms being used to argue and point figures to a certain extent.
So, a couple things I found interesting. I guess, I don't know which one is considered to have come first, but let's start with the actual year-in-review blog itself. I found it interesting that the majority of posts seem like what you would expect to see from CSMs. Oh, it was a great year. We did this. I was very active here. Then you had Scion's bomb drop, where he felt like things were not working out very well at all. Felt like the CSM was getting pushed over, ignored, didn't fit well into the new development cycle. And then you also had, having read that, maybe one or two hints of that in other posts on there as well from other candidates. But it to me, it highlighted how polarizing the issue might be, because certainly he was the only one to really come out and say it and make it an issue. But that said, it doesn't seem to me like it's entirely in his head either. So you having contributed to said blog, I was hoping you could give your perspective on the initial shot fired.
His points were valid. Some of them had been addressed already. Things where he said he wasn't feeling we were connected well enough with CCP, and by the time that had been written, we'd already gotten access to Confluence, which is the CCP's in-house communication channel. So it was we weren't on some secret forum thing that maybe the devs go to and maybe not. We were in-house, so if we linked something, it pinged on their server directly. So some stuff that he was complaining about had already been addressed, but it had been addressed late in the year. I was joking with Alex before this started, saying part of it is, I think every year new people come into the CSM and they have this mental image of how it's going to go. And then if it doesn't go exactly the way they expect it to, a lot of them react in different ways. Some kind of just go, well, this isn't what I expected, and they just go back into the corner. Others will, fight to make it what they hoped it would be, and others adapt to work with what you have and try to get as far as you can. If you don't have a paddle, put your fingers in the water and start stroking for all you're worth, because you got to move this canoe somehow. Sorry, Canadian reference.
A little bit.
So, I wasn't aware that Scion had been frustrated once or twice previously, but the other thing to take into account is you have to remember Scion is, as you can read, a major leader and shaker of the CFC. He's what? Is he Mitanni's right hand or left hand?
I believe the right hand.
Okay, and Endy is the left then. But
yes, probably.
He's used to, when he says something or makes a proclamation, even if it's behind the scenes, things happen when he points ships launch. And all of a sudden, he wasn't that powerful.
So you think it stems from his ego?
No, I think, like I said, I think he was very accurate in what he said. I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm saying that some of his disappointment was I think he was expecting more power and more response faster, ability to affect things and have CCP bringing stuff to him continuously and given warning way in advance. The best example, and it's come out, one of the big bomb drops was the jump nerf. And we found out about it maybe a day before you guys did.
Completely ridiculous.
That's not a lot of time for us to give them advice, to react to it. So what we wound up doing was instead of giving them advice ahead of time, we were filtering and representing the people and taking, this is what I'm hearing on the forums. And damn, if that forum thread didn't grow so fast, you literally couldn't read fast enough to keep up with it. It was growing that fast at one point, where I'd read two pages and three more had appeared on the far end of the list. So, but we tried to take the filter out the screaming and I'm going to unsub everything and try to find the reasonable people, the ideas and things that we fought for, like getting the jump freighters a clawback to 90%, same for the blobs. We tried to make a reasonable change without demanding that the entire thing gets yanked. And by the way, there is still a thread demanding the jump range be removed on a regular basis, and it updates, and there's always somebody posting something new every day or two.
Yeah, the only thing if we want to talk about the issue itself, the only thing I found quite strange is that the jump calibration skill was not removed or changed. It seemed to me that that was one of the things that should have been at least on the table, because it's a skill point inhibitor for people to participate. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
if you've got four and everyone else has five, then it's like, well, I guess you're shit out of luck. You have to stay home or inconvenience the entire other fleet.
Well, anyone who jumps without his fleet winds up inconveniencing when his cooldown's different than everybody else's. But that was the first part of it. And then Funky Bacon felt obligated to post next because he had not been part of the year in review post. And then it came out why he felt separated, and all of that came out over the next few days.
The Funky Bacon situation is very interesting to me. I sympathize with him in some cases, because we've had numerous situations in CSM7 where it was like, man, I'm on the verge of publicly exploding. We can't keep all this under wraps. We feel like the process isn't working. It's time to go get public support for this and, you know, put a spotlight on it. I think the difference was, you know, it was always more or less a thread. I mean, eventually Two-Step did start the thread knot, but that was not premature. That was as soon as we could legally talk about it, he was on the forums. And he felt that that's what he had to do because the actual process wasn't working.
Yep.
I was not quite at that point myself, but after he did it, you know, I was quite happy to use it as a weapon to help move things along in the back channels. So I was happy that it happened, although I probably wouldn't have done it myself, or I would have waited longer, but it happened. We made the best of it. That's not really what happened with the Funky Bacon situation. So for any of our listeners that might be unfamiliar, why don't you give us the essentials?
Okay. Remember, the essentials are always changed depending on who's telling the story.
So, well, you're telling the story.
Yeah, this is from my point of view. I just want to say I'm not saying that I've got the God honest truth and everybody else is lying. Basically, this goes back to when World of Darkness was closing down. And there were rumors of it and a lot of back chat and people going, I've heard this and I'm seeing this type of, you know, the rumblings and that you hear in the distance or tweets or people are no longer listing themselves as employed by. And we were going to have a meeting to talk about this because there was also a big percentage cut to CCP in the Iceland offices as well. And a lot of people that, if you're connected or know CCP at all, people that you would know, high profile people, lost their jobs that day. And so we were told a little in advance, but not much. And when it broke, I can't remember what external game media broke it, or it might have been a European news source broke the story. We were all set back, and Falcon immediately said, we'll have a meeting tomorrow morning to discuss this, because everybody is reeling from this. And Funky Bacon knew it was public, and it was public domain. I'm not saying he had anything to do with any kind of NDA or anything, but he rushed to print with a blog post that evening before we had a meeting. And it was rather harsh, and it hurt some people's feelings, both people who got laid off and the people who were suffering survivor's guilt. I mean, if you've ever been in a business that suddenly had layoffs, you know it's no easier being the guy left behind than it is being the guy fired. Well, it's slightly easier because you still have a paycheck. But you understand what I mean. And he burnt a lot of bridges in that one blog post.
And it is a bit of a no-holds-barred throwdown. But...
It is. And he has a right to say that. But the thing is, we're trying as a CSM, and I'm not saying we always have to butter up CCP, but you really don't want to burn bridges or have people who out and out don't want to talk to you.
No, of course not.
That puts a spike in the entire CSM CCP ability to operate. And so almost of survival tendencies, we decided to kind of have a separate channel that CCP could talk to us and not necessarily have to talk to Funky. Now, we still had a general channel, and it was used, contrary to what some people said, it was used occasionally. And so some conversations would go on the channel that had Funky in it, and some went on in the back rooms. But it was what we had to do to maintain a relationship with CCP.
So I'm going to ask a hard question.
Okay, I hate to say it, I got to go in a few minutes to go.
Ah, you're ducking me, Mike.
But no, ask the question. I'll do the question first. I want to do the hard question so you can't say I did duck you.
The hard question is, would Funky Bacon having waited till after that meeting really change the math on anything that was said in that blog?
I would like to say yes. And I know this sounds really weird, but because Funky Bacon, Cyan posted that he and PGL went and chatted with Funky and were kind of, and a few others did too as well, and found that he wasn't very remorseful about what he wrote. Like, he was very defensive of his writing. And he has every right to write it. He just has to, it's like we always say, Eve is a game of consequences. He made a decision and there were consequences. But I honestly think that if he'd gone to the meeting and seen the look on Falcon's face and Lilu and just how these people looked like someone had just sandbagged them, that maybe he would have calmed it down a little and realized that this was people he was talking about. It wasn't a business. It's not some faceless organization in the distance. These are people's lives and livelihoods that we were dealing with. And I would honestly like to believe that Funky might have tempered what he said a little better if he'd gotten that feeling that he wasn't trying to rush to post to do a business thing. He was actually talking about people.
That's fair.
Leastwise, I can hope, but I am optimist at the best of times, so.
So speaking of, now that all this is public, and you've had Cyan lay out how things aren't working well, you clearly have some members of the CSM that still think they're fighting the good fight and doing pretty well. And you've got all the stuff about Funky coming out, Cyan apologizing to Funky for how he carried himself, Funky probably still not having the best relationship with CCP. Where does CSM9 go from here to close out the year? Like, what are you realistically and concretely doing differently to try to end on a higher note?
Well, actually, thing that we were doing, and Lilu mentioned this elsewhere, so I can actually talk in general terms about it, is we're working on the white paper, which is the document that says what the CSM is about and how we're supposed to work. So the end result is we are trying to codify better rules so we know how to handle things like this. We know how to handle when somebody isn't working. what to do and how we're going to do it. We won't be flying it by the seat of our pants. We will actually have a codified set. And the other thing is that the white paper was written at the beginning of the CSM quite a few years ago. And the CSM has grown, changed, shifted, redefined itself a dozen times. And the one thing I would really like to push for is to have a mission statement that says, this is what we're supposed to do. This is our historical document, the original white paper. This is what we are now. These are the rules we are going to follow. These are our general guidelines, right down to how you're supposed to treat each other and how you're supposed to talk to CSM, whether you have a right to tell them it's a bullshit idea, whether or whether you should temper it a little. Personally, I think you should still be allowed to yell the emperor has no clothes, but you can do it in a professional manner. Do you understand what I mean? Like, there has to be, and some people just get Eve so into their bloodstream that they feel obligated to play by their own rules. So having a set of rules down might help. And so I think that's the one main thing we're going to pass on to the next CSM, or maybe it will bridge over between this CSM and the next so that we can help them have a good definition of what they're supposed to do going in.
And I support where you're coming from on that. White paper reform was important on CSM-4. I feel it's a good way to help carry over a momentum from one CSM to the next in terms of whatever kind of innovations or evolutions of the relationship are discovered in one CSM, get that codified so that the next CSM can absolutely benefit from it.
I honestly think that we shouldn't put anything down in stone until the first month after the election, where we still have the former CSM saying, this is what we learned. Here's what we would suggest you do. But the new CSM has a say in how they want to find themselves.
And then, well, I mean, ideally, it would be less than a month, right? There's like that, well, maybe it is a month
period.
Now. But yeah, it was a two-week handoff period. Ideally, that would be one of the first things that gets discussed.
Exactly. That, I think, is that might be the biggest legacy that CSM-9 passes on. Even though we went through all of this drama-llama of the last month, it has helped focus the idea on the CSM needs better definitions and a better way to define itself. And then if we make public how we define ourselves, then you as the public can evaluate us better. You know, the transparency call and all that sort of thing will be easier to do. We've got minutes coming out at a mile at Mach 5, but you'll be able to say, yes, and I see what they're doing, and it doesn't look like this guy was doing what the CSM said it would do. This guy does look like it. And I'm sorry, but I really got to go get my daughter from work. It's late at night. I don't want her standing outside waiting for me at a bus stop. So,
all right, I will say one more thing, Mike.
Yep, go ahead.
I worry that no matter what rules are laid out, there's always going to come a situation where the rules aren't working, and someone's going to have to either go around them completely or go just to the letter of them, and you're still going to have some hurt feelings. And I don't think any change to the white paper is going to be able to fix that particular problem.
Was it on air or off that I said you get 14 people together and you're going to have a dipstick?
It was off, but okay. Now it's on.
And now it's on, and I said, and if you look at all four, if you're one of the 14, you look around, can't figure out who the dipstick is, it's you. So, yeah, I agree. There's going to be people that are always going to need slapped down or reminded of the rules. That's the nature of dealing with a group of people. I'm okay with that. But leastwise, if you have a better set of rules than a major paper that was written 7 years ago, was it? That leastwise you'll have a better way to let the person know when they are getting close to that line. Anyways, thanks for having me on. I'm sorry I had to cut it short.
No, thank you for, we got you on here on very short notice, so I appreciate that. Take care.
Yeah, you too. Catch you another time.
Yep. Mike Azariah, everybody. One of our best guests, always. I'm happy to have him back on. I'm sure he'll be back for the CSM roundtables as well. Dell, you were pretty quiet during this whole CSM thing. Now that Mike's gone, why don't we bring you in here and, you know, you can close things off with your two cents.
Not a whole lot, really, to say too much on the CSM side of things, personally. I mean, typically, I have the luxury of having Cyan and you and Allie for that.
Fair enough, but you are the everyman, so to speak, in that you have not served or are trying to serve in the CSM, so sometimes it is nice to hear some outside perspective.
Yeah, for the most part, I stay quiet with most of the stuff. I mean, the position the game is in right now, in my opinion, I'm super happy about the change to the 6 week releases and all the stuff they've actually been bringing to us. As far as the, you know, it gives you more of the, you know, content like faster, and there's always new things to look forward to and changes. You know, I mean, the tactical destroyers and the bowhead and all the other cool stuff they've done lately. Even the jump changes. You know, I'm. As someone who does logistics for the Alliance a lot, even the jump changes to me were an important change, and it's, you know, it was something new to look for ways to work around, and so I'm really excited with the state of the game right now.
All right, awesome. And we're going to wrap up the show with a very special welcome back. Mercenary Coalition has restarted. It's still in the early stages, but a few former pilots of MC managed to pry the Alliance away from the cold, dead hands of Selene. And their leader has started to slowly but surely acquire new corps. And I believe they're up to 130 members now. And, we're talking to them. Certainly would love to be friendly with the new MC. And I have a feeling that everybody in EVE, especially in the mercenary community, is going to have their eyes firmly planted on them to see where things go from here. So, welcome back, MC, and hopefully we see lots of familiar faces in MC before too long. And with that, I want to wrap things up. Thank you for listening, guys. I know we had a bit of a break, but we're now back with regular episodes, and it's super awesome to have our listening audience always giving us good feedback, giving us reviews on iTunes, donations. We super appreciate those. And of course, always lining up to join Noir. Now is probably one of the best times to join in recent memory. With this new Alliance project going on, it's very exciting. So you can reach Noir via our public channel, CafeNoir.com. Apply to join us on the forums at NoirMercs.com. Don't forget to sign in to DeclarationsOfWar.com and participate in the show poll. These are very scientific polls where you get to make your voice heard on sometimes important questions, sometimes very whimsical questions, but they are all very scientific and important, so you should definitely cast your vote. And with that, Cyan Oviander for CSM 10, and good hunting, listeners.